Blog Talk Radio.
I believe in what you said, you do.
I don't need fame and fortune. I don't need honorable mentions. I don't need fancy mansions. I don't need it. All I need is faith in you. Faith in you. Believe in what you said. You do. Faith in you. I don't need no fancy cars. I don't need to be called a star. I don't need to be where they are. I don't need it, 'cause all I need is faith in you. Faith in you. Believe in what you said. You do. Faith in you.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, owner, overseer, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Ministries Network, and I would like to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, October the 8th, 2020. At the top of the program, you heard Pastor Jay Moss with Faith. And now, here's the host of Wounded No More, hallelujah, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Bishop Cook. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here today. Our topic tonight, our topic is going to be about faith, but it's going to be a little twist to it. Because the show is called Wounded No More, I think that we need to talk about areas in transition as we heal, because, you know, I'm always going to be hitting that topic and theme about healing and staying healed and maintaining to serve better, to mature better. It's always going to be coming from that vein. So when I thought of faith, I said, Well, there's fundamental scriptures that we all know that are in the New as well as the Old Testament, and popular one that we know in the New Testament is Hebrews 11 because it talks about the victors of faith that come from the Old Testament. But then, you know, as I begin to, I have several different versions of the Bible, and I'm always looking at, but my favorite version, of course, is the Amplified, but I also have the ESV, and then I have different, you know, topical Bibles and stuff. And one of the things I realize is in my ESV, I've had for a while, is as I begin to look at Hebrews 11, I circled this. I probably did this probably about 2 or 3 years ago. I circled in that chapter all the action words. At the time that I was studying, I really was dealing with some things mentally and emotionally that were, I felt like I was always coming to a place where I was hitting my head against something, and it was really strongholds within my own soul, areas where I had to make decisions, areas of my emotions and mentally. So I was hitting these walls, and I know that the word heals and it's active and alive. And so I was always going to the word of God and looking at things. And so one particular season in my life, the Lord was saying, just go to that passage and begin to circle all the words that are action words. And then I would go through it again, and I would circle all the words that were past tense, meaning they had already happened and they were already available. And as I began to meditate on that word, it was like helping me. It was convicting me. Don't get me wrong. I was being convicted at the same time, but I also, God was dealing with me on a level of how you see yourself based on what's within you, what faith is and what faith is not. And it challenged my thinking, which is where all the wars happen. They happen in the battlefield of the mind. It challenged my thinking. And then from this is one of the things that I want to start doing on this show is after, especially because I believe so much in reading the word, the whole context of the word and understanding it and being able to live it. I'm going to always pray whatever I have read in some shape, form, or fashion at the end of the show, because I believe that if we pray the word, our faith will grow. We'll be able to see the manifestations of the things that we have prayed. And another thing I want to mention, too, is before I start reading the word, is God had given me this little saying that I always say when it comes to when I teach or even when I pray. God will say to me, GPS, your faith, where is it? Where is it? Where, you know, and then he started saying, how much of it do you have? And, you know, but basically it was like, do you believe it all before you start reading the word, before you start praying, before you start serving? And because of that, it got me more aware of how I had to be accountable for what I believed and what I didn't believe. I had to be honest about the things that I had no faith for and didn't even realize I didn't have faith for it. So don't ever be afraid to go back to basics. Don't ever be afraid to question where you are and why you believe what you believe. Another thing is that I have the mind of Christ, so I'm not just believing things in a vacuum. And I need to know the difference between my believing based on what God has said and me standing on that and me just believing based on my experiences and knowledge. Those are two different areas. And I want to read this passage from one of my Bibles. It's called The Case for Faith. And they basically are referencing, it's a very small article, very small, like two paragraphs I'm going to read. It says the difference between faith and knowledge. And I thought it was very interesting. And it's adapted from an interview with Dr. Lynn Anderson, and it comes from a Bible that I have called The Case for Christ. It's a study Bible. It says, if a man were to tell you that he had a dollar in his pocket and you chose to believe him, you'd be exercising faith. Hebrews says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Now, if the man removes the dollar from his pocket and puts it out in plain view, then your faith is destroyed and replaced with knowledge, because you see it, right? And sometimes people think faith means knowing something is true beyond any doubt whatsoever. And so they try to prove faith through empirical evidence. based on what they see, right? But that's the wrong approach. So if you can see and touch the object, you don't need faith. And that's not what faith is. God, for his own reasons, has not subjected himself to that kind of proof. Instead, people should discover corroborating evidence and then make a choice by taking a step of faith in the same direction that the evidence is pointing. And that goes to the first verse in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope, certain for what we do not see. Now, that's in the NIV, which I don't particularly care for. So I'm going to read that same verse in the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance. It's the title deed. It's confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. I love that, divinely guaranteed. That means it has nothing to do with man and our five senses or what we can see or what's written in a book or what somebody preached or anything. It's divinely guaranteed and the evidence of things that you don't see, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. For by this kind of faith, and they have kind of, so that means there's different types of faith, I guess you could say. But this kind of faith the men of old gained divine approval. Divine again, that means it comes from God, it comes from above. And so I just want to talk about, as I'm reading in between, I'm going to teach, so to speak, about things that get in the way of our faith, things that hinder our faith. And we know one of them is lack of love, because love and faith work together. And I'll teach that on another show, how that happens. But as I begin to circle the action words in this passage, I realized that there were some things that you have to do. Because remember the scripture that says faith without works is dead. And so there are certain things that God wants us to do because we do believe. Just like all the different ones in this passage did, from Noah to Enoch to Sarah to Abraham. There's things that they did, but they believed. And I want to talk about, as best as I can, the things that do that, like I said, that come against your faith mentally, that come against your faith emotionally, that come against your faith because you can just push Google and find out anything you want to know. And that can make you have lazy faith, if that's what you want to call it, or just an unstable place, because if you don't see proof, then you don't believe. And so you begin to pray or you begin to do things based on your own five senses, doing things in your own strength, and that's not faith. So I think we just have to be aware of self, be aware of the things that make us make the decisions and come up with the rationale for why we believe what we believe. But I tell you what, one thing that always helps me, and I know it's based on some level of truth, not some level of truth, practice makes. If you continue to read the word and believe the word and pray the word and do the word, what you'll find is your faith will rise without you even realizing it, because it's what you choose to believe in. If you go to Luke, there was a scripture in Luke where Jesus was addressing, Luke 17 and 6. Do you remember the one when Jesus was, where they were talking about they had no faith to believe? I'm going to go to it directly because I think that it's really important that we remember the things that Jesus said about faith. He said a lot of stuff about faith, their lack of faith or little faith, you know, if they have faith. So I have to reference that because that got my attention, even though it's very short. Let me find it. Those are the types of things that get my attention every time. 17. Let me see. Increasing our faith. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the small birch tree, be rooted up and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And he's using that, give us more faith. They felt inadequate in the face of the high standard that he set for them. How many of us are dealing with that on some level or have dealt with that based on it? And he was just saying, you know, all you have to do is have a little faith. From that little faith, it grows. There is some more meat in there in that passage. It's only like two let me see, it's only like two verses, but there's meat in that, and I want to eventually talk about, you know, them telling increasing our faith, because I know there's some principles in that that Jesus was trying to stress to them by telling them about a mustard seed. And there's so many teachings that we've heard about, oh, mustard seed faith and little faith, and I said faith is, anyways, I don't want to get into theology or anything like that or doctrine or anything or wrong teaching, but I know that that scripture right there, when Jesus was telling them, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, doesn't say that all you have to have is mustard seed faith. It has to be bigger than that. So I'm going to begin to read in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23. Yeah, got my attention too as well. And I'm going to read that from the Amplified and begin to talk through this. And you know what, I might even, don't be surprised if I stop in the middle of reading and I begin to just pray a prayer or say a declaration or something, because I believe the moment that you get understanding or get revelation when you read the word, just begin to be more in practice of using it and meditating on it, or go back to it and meditate on it and ask God to give you clarity. This is called A New and Living Way. Therefore, believers, since we have, this is in Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 through 23. Therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells, means of the blood of Jesus, by his way, by this way and living way, which he initiated and opened for us through the veil, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart. So we have access. And you know how God is always dealing with our heart about stuff, right? And so let us approach God with a true and sincere heart in unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable. He's trustworthy and faithful to his word. Stop. So we have access, and because we have access, no matter what state we are in, we need to remember who we are in Christ and how we do have access to God through Christ. And so that being the case, you know, and we can be sprinkled and clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies are washed with water. So let us, and it always goes back to our heart posture towards him in reverence and in worship, not being fake, not being religious, not being traditional, not being manipulative. Just coming before him, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable. So this is more about him than us. He's reliable and trustworthy. And sometimes for some of us, that's where our faith has to start. Instead of us beating up ourselves and falling, knowing that we fall short, feeling guilty and coming before God and groveling and stuff, begin to think about how good he is, how he is trustworthy, how he is reliable, how he's always faithful to his word, despite the fact that we are not. And because we're earthen vessels, it doesn't give us an excuse, because there is grace. But at the same time, if we begin to think about how he never changes, he is always worthy. It goes back to Hebrews 11, when he was talking about Sarah. And you know how Sarah was able to conceive because she found him faithful, who had promised. That is one of my favorite passages in that verse, because she received power to conceive a child in her old age because she believed that the one who had told her she would, he was a faithful God. Now, it wasn't looking too good because there were things that happened along the way. I mean, she asked, you know, her handmaiden to, she gave her handmaiden to her husband, and they had a child, Ishmael, because Sarah was probably wavering in her hope. She was losing hope. And see, when we really believe and have faith in God, that has a lot to do with our hope level and our expectation. So a lot of times, one of the ways that I am able to hold on to my faith or just to realize where it is, it's like, do I expect anything? Do you know for years that God would deal with me in prayer, even before I would even get down in a posture to pray, in my mind and in my heart, he would say, what do you expect? Or he would say, your expectation levels are low. And I would be like, I don't even know why they're low, but I realized it was based on who his character was. It's based on the fact that I didn't really know who he was. or if I did, I didn't believe it, or I didn't have an understanding. You see what I'm saying? So there's three areas there that I just mentioned. I didn't have understanding. I didn't know who he was. I was unaware. And so I was just praying because I knew I was supposed to pray. I believed he was, but I really didn't understand. And so when I began to read the word on his character, it helped me in certain areas of my faith. Who he was and who he was not. Who I thought he was, he definitely wasn't a genie in a bottle. He definitely wasn't Santa Claus. And that's what was my approach early on. And especially, he wasn't a God that was going to hide the truth from me and keep me accountable if I was asking him for things or needing certain things, that he wouldn't be a God because he loved me, that he would tell me that, because he would say, for you to live in deception and not being able to see where you are versus where I said you can be, keeping yourself in a place of deception. How are you going to believe? That goes back to that article I read, what you know versus what you have faith in. You have faith in and this, but you know this. And so you allow what you know or what you experience, especially when it comes to people. You know how we get real familiar and we begin to pray for, let's just give an example of somebody's loved ones that are lost out there, just out there, and we begin to pray for them. We can't pray from a place of knowledge, because our knowledge and our five senses is telling us they own drugs, or our five senses is telling us, you know, they are out there living recklessly, or our faith is telling us they did this and they did that. It's all based on five senses and what they did. But our faith will say, he is a God that heals. He is a God that restores. Look at the all these different examples in the Word of God that says God is true and we're to pray for souls to be brought into the kingdom. That's faith. And so you have to take an evaluation of whether you are riding on what you know or riding on faith. And the things that really help your faith is, like I said, the knowledge of who he is. And so when you look at things that are not seen, that means you're not looking at your five things that God told you to believe in. A lot of times in the Word of God, we can actually live these things because the great examples that we have. So when we go to by faith, I'm going to continue to read in Hebrews 11. By faith, that is, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence. See, confidence and expectation go together, and trust go together. In the power and wisdom and goodness of God. See, the word faith does not have to be so abstract. If we begin to say, okay, look, I don't really know what faith is. What is faith? I love the Amplified Bible because in the parentheses it says inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power. I trust and have faith in knowing that most of the time, or 99.9% of the time, if I go into the bathroom and turn on the water will come out. Not chocolate, not pop, you know. Water is supposed to come out of here. And, you know, depending on the situation, yes. If I'm thirsty, I am enthusiastic about that water coming out. And if anything else comes out of there, I'm going to be upset. You know what I mean? Definitely don't expect that. I expect water to come out. So when we begin to focus on the character of God and begin to know what Christ made available to us, all that, and then some, whatever the issue is, and we begin to meditate on it and pray it, and ask God if need be. I don't even know where my faith is, and I don't know if this is knowledge or if this is based on the past that I'm allowing to get in the way of what I'm thinking. I can't even, you know, have you ever heard somebody say every time they read the word, they get confused? Have you ever heard somebody say every time they try to read about certain topics, they just get blocks and stuff like that? Sometimes we have to begin to pray over your mind and pray over your ears and even your eyes. And you have to begin to speak the word out loud. So if you read the Bible out loud and that helps your understanding, faith cometh by hearing, doesn't it? Read the word out loud sometimes. Read about all the different names for God sometimes. Read them out and read the scripture references for where they came from and what you'll find, and just say, you know what, this is going to help my faith. Even before I read anything, it's going to help my faith. What are you doing? You're building up your expectation. You're building up your confidence in the power and the wisdom and the goodness of God. And we understand that the worlds and universes and stuff were framed and created, formed in him, and so, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which were visible. So, you know, he created the world because
of his word. By faith, it goes back to Abel, giving an acceptable sacrifice. And then Cain, through which was testified of him, he was righteous. And God testified by accepting his gift. And though he died, yet through his act of faith, he still speaks. His obedience speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about Abel. So, and as I'm reading through, please, I apologize if I'm paraphrasing, because I really, like I said, I'm talk teaching, because I really want you to make this word your own. This is the scripture that I go to a lot that helps me in so many different ways. The word can be expanded. God can speak to you. The word jump off the page. Maybe for you it's not Hebrews 11. Maybe it's some other passages. But whatever it is, tonight I'm making it my own to give you an example of how it is that you can feed your faith, how you can restore your faith. Start from basics. The basics is read the word, believe the word. Be honest about the fact that I don't understand what I'm reading. Father, give me an understanding of what I'm reading. Help me to apply this in my life in little ways or in big ways. Show me where my faith has been eroded, where I have just been doing, and I didn't realize I don't believe anymore in this area. Now, that's real talk, especially when you begin to serve. You'd be surprised how some things can come. You become detached from those foundations because you're just doing. Just keep in mind that when you begin to focus on the character of God, that you're doing that with him. You're doing that with him, supposedly. And when you're not, what you're doing by default in some cases is compartmentalizing. When you begin to compartmentalize, you have that Greek mindset. That Greek mindset is not going to serve you as it pertains to the intimacy with God. The Hebrew mindset says, I study to do the word, to understand and to do and to obey the word. Greek mindset studies to know. Remember what we talked about, knowledge? There's nothing wrong with knowing. Don't get me wrong. But understand and begin to question your motive of where you're coming from. And don't put the cart before the horse. It's important that we know the word. It's important that that the word becomes part of every part of our life and it becomes doable. And what you'll find is when you begin to read the word out loud or just read the word or study the word. I heard this one man say, he was teaching, he said it's important to study. It's important to read the word. It's important to rightly divide the word, and then you can do it. That's like four things, right? If you do any of those things out of order, it's gonna be some gaps. And it's gonna feel like there's some gaps.
Amen.
You can't jump over steps. And so it's something to get excited about, only because we have access to the Lord, and he makes it available through the Holy Spirit to guide us as we're studying. What should I even study? What I used to do for a long time is anything that I didn't understand, I would study. Anything that I had issues with, I had to study because I wanted the word to be so enrichly part of my life, not to be seen or anything, so that my heart can get right. Once again, I'm going to reference the thing about the heart that we just read in 10, in Hebrews 10, about our heart. I was just reading a bunch of different passages today, and it's just like that word kept jumping out, heart. God is concerned about the heart. We should be pleasing him and serving him from the heart. So when it comes to our faith, right, and since that's what we're talking about tonight, and we're talking about wounded no more, you know the heart is a big piece of this. He always talks about, and I know many people have heard the scripture that said about having an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief, those things that get in the way. So I go back to say that if you're serving, don't be so busy that you forget about where your heart is and it pertains to what you believe and what you don't believe. You're doing what, you know, because faith without works is dead. So definitely serve, but don't be so detached and disconnected for why you're doing. Are you doing things religiously? You're doing things in a vacuum. And it's like God is on the peripheral. Where is he and all that? And you'd be surprised how people get burnt out. People get bitter. And I always wonder, and even in myself, is this, why are you getting so worn down and weak in this area? If you were to store up in your understanding that why you're doing what you're doing, that your faith would not be eroded in this place, you wouldn't be so quick to burn out. You wouldn't be so quick to be bitter. You wouldn't be so quick to, you know, want, you know, be short-tempered or tired or whatever, or leaning to your own understanding. So staying in that word and saying, Lord, how do I apply this in my everyday life? Give me an example. Show me what that looks like for me to tailor my life in this way. And, you know, God, you know, if your relationship with him and your dialogue with him is that real, he will answer you that real. So what, but without faith, it's impossible to walk with God. And that word, see, this is why I love the Amplified so much. Walk with God and please him. Not just please him, right? Not just saying, I'm doing all this with Jesus, and then he said, I never knew you. We did all this in your name, and I never knew you. I think about the different ones that were intimate, that walked with God, and I think about Noah and Moses and, you know, Abraham and the different ones, that, and Enoch, who really did walk with God, and they were able to accomplish great things, powerful things that we still read about today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that faith had to be there. Say, by faith that pleased God, Enoch was caught up, taken to heaven, so that he wouldn't have a glimpse of death. And see, then they talk about, but without faith it's impossible. By faith, in verse 7, with confidence in God and his word, Noah, being warned by God about events not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark. He began to build because he believed. But he had to walk with God the whole time. And so I want to give you a scenario. When you're walking with God, it doesn't mean everything is all shiny and sunshiny and happy. You are really walking with God. You're asking questions. He's talking to you. He's convicting you. He's getting you together. You know what I mean? You're talking to him and saying, it's intimate. It's an intimate thing. Just like if me and Bishop Cook went on a trip together and she was mentoring me, and I said, I really need to talk to you, Bishop Cook, and telling her my heart, and she's giving me her wisdom and things like that. But even so more, so much more with the Lord. So whatever he has told us to do, do you understand what you're supposed to be doing, Vanessa? I kind of understand, but I don't want to do it. Well, why don't you want to do it? Because, Lord, I don't believe I can. Well, why don't you believe I can? Greater is he that's in you. And then you see what I mean? So this conversation becomes an intimate thing. So our faith is to be an intimate thing. It does not mean that there won't be times where there will be a lot of conviction, and he'll be telling us about ourselves, telling us where we need to tighten up, telling us what we need to let go of, telling us the things that we need to release to him, saying, well, I guess you know what? You asked me all this, Vanessa. Do you even trust me? And I'm scared to say yes. But if I have an intimate relationship with him, all I can say is, Lord, I know I need to, but I don't, and I need you to help me. Just like the disciples said, Lord, increase our unbelief. Increase our belief. We don't increase our faith. So I want tonight to be an example of make your walk with God real when it comes to your faith. Don't be fake. Tell the truth. But also be accountable to the disciplines, like reading the word, studying the word, rightfully dividing the word, and applying the word, that will help you get to the next level in your faith, that will clean up your faith, that will help you maintain your healing, and that you continue to grow. And when you begin to read the word, make the word real for you. Begin to take the word, and it's God breathed, right? So since it's God breathed, whatever you read is from him, it's from his heart, and it's to teach you, it's to instruct you, it's to shine light on dark places, it's to sharpen you. And since it is all that and more, depending on why you're reading it, it begins to show you your motives. And when it begins to show you your motives, then instead of you acting like don't nobody hear that or know about it but you, begin to take that to the Lord and begin to talk about your faith. So what I want everybody to see, that don't make faith an abstract thing. Don't make it a single thing. It's a multidimensional thing. And it's something that we, because we have Holy Spirit, and because he made this available to us and what we have access to, it's a great treasure. But it's not based on what you see, based on what you know, your pedigree, your experiences, or, you know, somebody else's experiences. It's based upon the things that are not seen. It's divinely ascertained. And that being the case, you know, one of the things is a passage I'm thinking of is that we have to believe He's a rewarder of those who seek him. And one of the things is we have to believe that he is God and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I wonder why, when you begin to think, why would they put that in it, that we have to believe he's God? And that's what I do believe. What if I didn't believe, why would I be asking him? You'd be surprised how so many people pray in a vacuum, because that's the religious thing to do. That's the traditional thing to do, and they do it. But then some people go away and say, well, God didn't answer my prayer, so God ain't real. They really, and to be honest, they may not say it out loud, but they live the rest of their life. That's their inner confession. He didn't answer my prayer.
That's right.
So God ain't real. So we have to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so there's a reason why that wording was put in there the way that it was put in there. And so certain things like that gets my attention. And the Lord said, it's just helping you GPS where your faith is and where it's not. I'm not going to make you feel bad because your faith isn't where it is, but I don't want you to be deceived and thinking that your faith is this when it's not. Praying in a vacuum, praying religious prayers, praying religious, even confessions and things that you say every day when you really don't believe what you confessing. You know, we have a lot of great prayer books and a lot of people that have put some things together to help people understand prayer and how to pray. The word is wonderful. But guess what? If you don't even understand the references and the things that you confess, then what is the point? You don't have faith in it. So you're just doing something religious and ritualistic. That'll get you something sometimes, but sometimes it won't. It's a hit and miss type of a activity. We don't got time for that. We really don't. And if we really want to be students of the word and doers of the word, then we have to realize that, Lord, give me an understanding so that every time I pray, I believe that these things will manifest. Not because you're a genie in a bottle, but because there's going to be some outer working and internal working that will manifest your power and your might. But it, once again, it always starts in the heart.
Amen.
And when it begins to start
in
the heart, that's usually something most people don't know, only that's something between you and God. I just want you to be encouraged that when you begin to say, okay, I want to have more faith and this and that, that God begins to do some work on the inside first. By faith, we talk about Abraham when he was called by God, obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went, not knowing where he was going. Now, you know that's big. Many of us can say God will tell us to do something, but he only gave us like a piece of it, right?
Amen.
I think that obedience has to do with the heart, because it starts saying yes. Okay.
It does.
It does, and it's huge, and it's big. And depending on what it is, we have to say, God, I trust you, and I have confidence in whatever you're telling me to do, you'll make it plain. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in a promised land and in strange land to him, a place he had never been, with Isaac and Jacob, who were fellow heirs of the same promise, going to places where you've never been, spiritually and naturally, studying things that you never studied, being challenged with what you're learning as you go along the way. Not only are you learning the knowledge that God divinely shows you, but you're learning who you are and you're learning who he is.
That's right. Amen.
That's why this can be an adventure. I had a friend tell me, well, this is an adventure, because I'm like, well, you know, when you get to a certain age, you're like, I ain't too much down for adventures. I'm just speaking for myself. When you're young, that might be, yeah. But when you get to a certain place, it's just like, even though God's going to have to just encourage you and say, but I'm with you. Don't worry. Like, that's too much,
Amen.
Lord. And he was like, but, you know, I've gone before you. He said that to me a lot. So begin to see if you can come up with some scriptures or some things that God says to you every time there's a transition, every time there's a challenge. I've said a couple of things. They never change. One thing he says to me a lot is, he said, I've gone before you. So what do you have to be afraid of? I've been there. I'm there now. I'm there now. And so, but at the same time, if you walk with me, which is what I was reading, walking with me, I'll go together. I'll never leave or forsake you. Right?
Yes.
So
Yes, come on now.
Depending on the things that get in the way of your faith, which is really what I'm talking about, begin to pray them out. Begin to write them out. Some of us like to journal. Begin to do that, and what you'll find is where your faith is. And with those new challenges and things that you can't see and going, I don't know who's going to be there, Lord. Why are you telling me to go someplace I ain't never been? What? But I'm there.
Right. Come on.
How
are
you
going to
meet me in this new place of intimacy if you don't come where I am? Be where I am. Move when I say move.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
that is
good.
A heart thing. That's more of a heart thing, you guys. And one thing I can say.
It's always a heart thing.
It really is. Because he's saying, you can do what I tell you to do, but your heart is far from me. You doing what I told you to do, but not with your whole heart. Your whole heart ain't in it. God can always tell that because that usually comes out in our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
The attitude ain't right because your heart ain't right. He showed me that too.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I did what you said. He said, but your attitude ain't right. You know?
Yes,
and so he'll deal with
right.
that, get it together. Doesn't mean we have to be imperfect, but I think the main thing is to be integral and be honest about where you are, but don't allow yourself to stay in places of negativity and places of unbelief and places of, I got a choice, feeling like everything is negotiable. That ain't faith either, because that's based on what you
know,
right? By faith.
That's right.
And so for he was waiting expectantly, confidently, looking forward to the city which has foundations and eternal city, whose architect and builder is God. And this is still talking about Abraham. By faith, Sarah, remember, she received the ability to conceive. That's intangible. So there was nothing necessarily
right.
that she received tangibly. She received the ability to conceive. That's something in her body that manifested, but that started from her head down. And her heart down to conceive a child.
Mm-hmm.
And even when she was long past the normal age of it, she considered him. So she was thinking and musing and meditating on who God was. She considered him who had given her the promise. He was reliable and true to his word. Like
Amen.
I said, that's one of my favorite
Hallelujah.
Passages. 11:11. It is one of my favorite ones because there's so much in that verse. She received the ability to do what God told her she could do. You know, I'm looking at something right now in my life, and I'm like, I'm too old for that. Who going to do that? And he's like, you are. And I was like, I'm too old. I don't even know if I, thinking in my own, right, thinking of my own capabilities and capacities, and God saying, you just need to trust me and believe me. And so when I read this passage, I'm almost in tears. She received the ability because she considered the one who told her to do it, to promise that he was true to his word. So if you ever are in a place where you in your own way, bad enough when
yes.
people start saying
Move.
Stuff to you. When you in your own way, begin to read the word and just sit on that scripture. Just like chew on it for a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
You know, and take it to prayer, and God will begin to open up the eyes of your understanding about who you are and who he has called you to be. So we really are just talking about the dimensions of faith. And the different things that get in your way and the things that what his word has said, the word wins, period. Even if you don't understand,
Amen.
The word wins. So you have to say,
Amen.
Lord, just give me an understanding of it that is practically applying to me. So when I was reading 11:11 today, I was just like, there it is, in black and white. Something intangible that I'm struggling with, how I see myself versus what God has already said. He knows what he put in me. He knows what he put in us. And he's coming for it. He's coming
Amen.
For it.
Amen.
So it's more
That's
than
good.
Just doing something and going somewhere. It's about how you think about yourself, how you perceive yourself past a certain limitation, like in this case, her age.
Right.
So for one man, though, he was physically as good as dead, were born many descendants. You know, they were just talking about their limitations. What are your limitations today? What are you struggling with? What is it going on in your life that God is challenging you with where your believing is and where your faith is in him, not in you, not in the circumstance, not in people, but where is it? And that is the target. That's the target. You put a circle around it and put a dot on it. That's the target. because usually from that one thing, there's many lessons that God wants to deal with you. And there's some character building in that, too. That's what I realized, too, Bishop.
Yes.
That many things that we go through that he's saying, your faith got to come up a lot more. He's talking about character development.
Mm-hmm.
And maturity.
It's all for character development.
Yeah. A lot of it is. And it's like, unless you go through this, unless you go through this place, this narrow place, that character won't be developed. That heart won't be purified. That fallow ground won't be broken up. And it's needed. And you say
Amen.
You want to do all this. Of course we want to do all this stuff for the Lord. With the right heart, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Definitely.
And how else is that going to happen in this case unless he begins to try our faith and begins to show us where we are? So I just, whatever, this is my passage, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just picking out little things and making lists and saying all the action words. And when he had me do the action words, he had me look at what they meant. Look up what they mean. He was tested, you know, just like I know what that means. You think you know. See that word knowledge? You see how knowledge is always trying to supersede faith? Because when he begins to tell you to do simple things like study and read out loud, you have to take every thought captive and subject it to the law of Christ. And that's love. So whatever God is telling you to do, and you say, well, I know. Have you ever talked to somebody or tried to talk to somebody and they had this disposition, I know, I know. Oh, you know. And where is that getting
mm-hmm.
you? But God is saying, I know you know, but you don't have no faith. So how is it helping you?
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge above faith. It's got to be faith above knowledge. Period.
Amen.
And that right there, because we know a whole lot, and this is a knowledge age we live in. Everything is available to us, information age, everything. Anything we want to know about anything. We don't have to be a doctor. We don't have to be a specialist. We don't have to be a rocket scientist. We don't have to be anything. We can just Google anything. And if
mm-hmm.
we have great comprehension, we can understand it even, depending on what it is. But you still have to subject, you have to take every thought captive. And if you realize it's eroding your faith or trying to supersede your faith, you have to take it captive. And ask God to show you where that might be happening, if it is happening. So by faith, remember, and so from one man, and so in 13, all these died in faith, guided and sustained without receiving the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen them, having welcomed them from a distance, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Now, those who say such things make it clear that they are looking for a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of that country from which they departed as their true home, they would have had a continued opportunity to return. But the truth is that they were longing for a better country, that is a heavenly one. And for that reason, God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, even to be surnamed their God, the God of Abraham. They're talking about, you know, the father
mm-hmm.
of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he has prepared a city for them. So he begins to talk again about Abraham. And so what I realize is that this the writer of Hebrews was basically trying to encourage the people to believe, telling them where their faith was, telling them that we have some great examples of faith. Fathers in faith, and these people did this, right, from Rahab to Moses to Enoch and different ones and what they came against. And so I truly believe this is applicable to everything that we're dealing with now, COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel,
amen.
There's a lot going on, and I'm sure I can name about a bunch of other things, and Bishop can name a bunch of other things that we are all facing.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, God is saying, where is your faith? This virus
yeah.
in itself to me is about a virus of fear. I think it has
right.
totally, that's the virus, is fear. And so God said, what's the antidote?
Mm-hmm.
What's the antidote? Faith.
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 Amen. Amen. That's good.
So,
hallelujah.
I'm done. And I'm going to pray a short prayer based on some things that I prayed tonight, just to get you to know that since the word of God breathes, we have to breathe it right back out. Breathe in, breathe out, right?
So we began to pray the word. And at my heart, you know, Bishop, when she first asked me to be a part of this network, I was an intercessor. And so that's always the thing that I go back to as I pray. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, today that this word will speak to the hearts of those especially who need it at this time, that it will feed their souls. It will open up the eyes of their understanding. I thank you, Father God, today that just like Abraham and Sarah and different ones, that we begin to think on the things that you think of, and we have the mind of Christ, and we have to challenge our thinking, and we have to come against the knowledge and subject it to your word. Thank you, Father God, today for us knowing that we have access and being reminded of who we are, that we have access, and that we have to be honest and integral in our prayer tonight. I thank you, Lord, today that our faith will grow, that we begin to read the word and be accountable for the things that we know in you, not the things that we know in ourselves or in the world, the things that you have divinely revealed to us tonight, even tonight. And as that man or that woman of God who is reading the word, who's just wanting to understand, Lord, that you will open up their eyes to be able to see something different as they begin to study,
yes,
as they begin to rightfully divide the word, as they begin to read the word again. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Well, praise the living God. Once again, Prophetess Vanessa has done a phenomenal job speaking on faith and faith blockers. So, you know, we heard her begin first and foremost. One of the biggest blockers, well, a blocker is, of course, not knowing who God really is. You know, if you don't really, it depends on how you see God. Do you see him as this all-powerful mm-hmm. judge sitting up in the sky with a stick waiting to beat you, or do you see him as a loving father? Our feelings get in the way of our faith. Oh, we get in our feelings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. our own doubt gets in the way. And as our sister says, okay, we want to start reasoning for ourselves. You know, see, I'm going to believe what my eyes see and my ears have heard.
Yeah.
And, I'm a reason this thing right on out, see. So I don't really need any faith, because if I can't see it, if I can't touch it,
right,
then I don't believe it, you know. And then another thing is it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice,
yeah,
to totally surrender. And put your trust, not in yourself, but in a resurrected,
yes,
Savior.
Yes.
And then she talked about our false confessions. You know, we go up there, and false confessions mean we talk about, we pray things we don't even believe ourselves. Oh, we believe it for everybody else. We just don't believe it for us.
For ourselves, yeah. Yep.
You know? And then she said, hey, please don't get so busy that, you know, you forget it's not about your works, but it's about faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a modern day Pharisee, that's what they are focused on, performance. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and so and because they're focused on performance, they have a historical faith, which means, oh yeah, they heard, you know, They heard Jesus was really a real person, and he was here, and he, you know, he walked the earth for 33 years, and he died, and he rose. They believe he was here. That's historical. Then some of them believe, mm-hmm, well, you know, we have all been taught in Sunday school and catechisms and this and that, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. So they have an intellectual faith.
Right.
But see, the kind of faith we need is that faith in Jesus that says that soul-saving, eternal life-giving faith that says, I can't do nothing for myself. I have to do,
right.
I cannot
there
be dependent within and of myself. I've got to turn that all over to God. God knows better than me. I don't have anything to offer him. I can't get myself out of anything. All I can do is trust and depend on him. Because let me tell you something, all faith blockers are steeped, rooted, and based in fear. Now,
yes,
one of the best acronyms for fear is false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. But see, after my sister, look, talk tonight, oh, I have a few more. See, fear. See, some of us have fear of things that even haven't even happened yet. But what if we have another wave of the COVID? What if we have another hurricane? Or what if we have another tornado? Haven't even happened. You know, then some of us have a fear of just being, you know, vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't want to say we believe in a risen Savior and that you know, that we know that he's going to take care of us because we're not in control of that. Some of us don't have faith because, you know, we don't believe people will love us for who we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us have, you know, we don't have faith because our faith is weakened because we're so worried about disappointing people that we forget that we're supposed to be pleasing God.
Yep, that's a good one. That's
you
a
know?
Good one.
And some of us are just scared of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We don't want to look at the truth of our past. We don't want to look at who we really are right now. Because if we did, we wouldn't find ourselves worthy. But after hearing my sister's talk tonight, here's a new acronym for fear. Fighting against the truth. Fighting against the truth. That means you're going to believe the lies of unbelief. You're going to believe those pretty little white, those little quiet white venomous lies that Satan whispers in your ear. When you say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus that loves me, he's the one to be talking about, no, you ain't. Don't step out there. They'll eat you alive. You don't know what you're doing. Why are you going to embarrass yourself? Oh, he has a whole bunch of lies he can tell. And then E, escaping what's true. Like I said, we want to believe in what our eyes can see, our ears can hear. We believe in our degrees and pedigrees and what we know and who we know, and instead of just leaning on a resurrected Jesus.
Yep.
A,
that's right.
We're anxious about life. But you know why we're anxious about life? Because we're living according to our own reasoning and understanding.
Yes.
When the Word of God specifically tells us to lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And then some of us, our faith is just blocked because we're resistors. We want to resist the truth that God is in control. We want to do things our way. We want to live holy with a twist. So we resist the truth that God is really in control. You know? So we have a lot of faith blockers because, you know, the enemy makes sure he gives us a whole smorgasbord of them. But you got to have faith. And having faith has to do with knowing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So our faith comes from the word of God. And we need to know and understand that impressions, whims, ideals, notions, none of that has the power to rescue us, to heal us, to deliver us, to transform us. That only comes through the word of God. Oh, and the people that need evidence of their faith, see, just tell them to go straight on to the word, because God's word is the evidence of our faith.
Yeah.
His love for us is the evidence of our faith. So we have to know and understand that even though it might not look good, feel good, sound good, God is always working it out for our good. As they say, when we're down to nothing, God is always up to something.
To something.
So, you know, we can only do that when we have a true heart change, when we die to self, when we begin to strip away everything that stands between us and God, the fear, the pride, whatever it is, when we begin to go to the Lord and just say to him, Father, search me. Or, you know, bless me in my unbelief. You know, when Thomas wanted to see the wounds of Jesus, he said, Thomas, because you have seen, wounds in my hands and on my feet. You believe. But Jesus said, blessed are they.
Yes, he did not see.
Who believe and have seen that. So that's what we have to remember. We don't want to, you know, we want to be like Abraham. We want to be like those, all those folks that are in the annals of faith. We don't want to be wishy-washy with our faith. We don't want to be stingy with our faith. We want to have complete and total trust in our Lord and Savior. And Prophetess Vanessa, I just want to thank you so much for that teaching, because it was on time. Now, for all of you sitting in our studio, in our chat room, this is now your time. If you want to touch and agree with the sister, encourage the prophetess, because servant leaders need to be encouraged too. If you would kindly press your one on your keypad, hallelujah, we will bring you into the praise party, because these are not shows. These are praise parties. Hallelujah. And I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. We're going to go to 573-7331. God bless you, dear. You're in the studio.
Thank you.
Miss Terry.
Hi.
All right now.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, we are here. Hello, dear.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
Yes, you're live. You're live in the.
Oh my God.
Go ahead, beloved.
I'm about to cry because I'm so happy to be in this. Oh my goodness, that I'm
live. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, we're so glad to have you in here tonight with us, dear sister. And I'm just glad that you received something on tonight. And because that's the main thing, we're here to lift one another up, to love on one another through the word of God, to encourage one another. So we just praise God that you're here, and we just hope that you will begin to walk with us, because we have something for everyone. And, dear sister, we're just going to be praying for your increase in your faith, because I know it's not always easy, and especially if you're new, you're walking in a new relationship with the Lord. I just want you to know, I know this young sister right that's on the phone right now. She's my neighbor. She's a beautiful woman of God. I love her. And so, you know, I just want people to know that, you know, we can need to come together, and I want all my neighbors to feel welcome to just come, join in, praise God with us, and just, you know, be real. None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. And we're all strengthening. You know, iron sharpens iron. So we sit up in here and we bless one another. And like I said, I just want to thank Prophetess Vanessa. And I know that we have another one of Spirit Alive's own sitting in here tonight, Apostle Zeta. I know you have something to say tonight, sister, because we talk about this all day, every day.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Amen.
I enjoyed your message, Prophetess Vanessa. That was a good message.
Thank you.
And on faith. And, you know, you were letting us know how, you know, some people kind of fall short in that area sometimes and begin to waver in faith. We can trust the God that we serve, because whatever he said, that whatever we believe in prayer, he would do it for us. And even when we set ourselves out to pray, or, you know, we decide to pray about different things that we have need of, or sometimes we're praying for others, and it's so important that we have faith, because if we don't have faith, the Bible says we can't even please the Lord. And because of who he is, we can believe in him and we can trust in him. But you gave some good illustrations concerning Abraham. You know, even people with the greatest of faith will sometimes waver because they just, you know, like in Sarah's case, it was just so, she laughed. It was just so unbelievable at her age. And sometimes, you know, we can get into that too if it's something that, you know, we have never asked God for, and all of a sudden this is what we need to ask him for, and, you know, begin to waver and say, well, you know, that's too big, or that's too much,
right,
or, you know, and begin. But he's the greatest. He's a great big God, and he can do anything. I mean, with him, all things are possible.
It's possible. That's
right.
Yes.
You gave out of the Bible was one of them was Noah. Now, when Noah was told what he was told concerning the flood, Noah went out right on to work. You know, he believed God. He took that for what he said, and he went on and did it. You know, now you know that sometimes there are people that are going to believe for great things. And see them come into see them come into I can't think of the word. They'll materialize and they will see manifest it in their lives.
Yes.
And then other times, you know, people will feel like, well, you know, I'm asking God for too much. But we can never ask him for too much.
Uh-uh.
Because everything in this world and the heavens and everywhere he owns.
He owns it all.
And so we can ask him. We have to be, I used to be like that. I used to pray and I used to ask God this was a long time ago. I would ask him to bless me to pay my electric and gas bill. And then I needed another bill paid also at the same time, but I only would come to him with one thing. Now I've learned to just put everything in front of him.
Amen. Put it all on the table.
Yeah, exactly. And say, Lord,
put it all on the table.
This is what I need done. I need this done. And sometimes there are things that I need like right now. And I'll say, Lord, I need this right now. I'm trusting you for it right now. And you know, the God that we serve, he knows when it is, when it's a right now thing that needs to be done. And he also knows when we can wait. We also have to know that we're also tested in our faith. You know, we're tested by God in our faith, and it really lets us know really where we are. As she was saying, we need to know where we are in you know, in our faith, our level of faith. Where are we? And am I really trusting him, or am I just saying it? You know, like she was saying earlier.
Amen, that's what she said.
You know,
amen.
Yeah, we can trust him, and we just got to know that that the God we go to, we can trust him. We can trust him.
Yes.
And one of the ways is to think back on what he has already done.
Amen.
You know, he said in his word, he said, believe me for my work's sake. Believe me for what you have already seen me do. Believe me for what you know that I have done. You know, and that helps us. It helped me. I would reflect on what he already did. If he did that, he can do this. You know.
Amen.
And so I enjoyed your message. And it's the kind of message that make you think, make you examine yourself. One of the scriptures, and I'm going to be quiet, you know, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you were talking about staying in the word and staying in the word. Well, you know, if we diligently seek him, we're going to learn of him.
That's right.
The more we learn of him, the better relationship we'll have with him. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the word. It was good.
Amen.
For my,
hallelujah. Thank you,
my ears. Amen. All right.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we also need to know that God delights in providing for his children and blessing. And when I say providing, I'm not talking about that new car, that bill, that gas bill, or that light bill. He can do that easily. But what he wants to provide for us is more faith, more love, more joy, more peace. And he delights more faith. He delights in that. He loves for us to come to him and let, you know, because he already knows what we need. He already knows what we want. And he already knows whether or not we're ready to receive it. And that's another thing that we have to praise God for, and a lot of people don't even think about. And it's a big part of faith, unanswered prayers. Because sometimes if God were to give us the things that we pray for right then, we wouldn't know what to do with it. We would do more damage than good. So sometimes it's not that God is saying no. He's saying wait. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's saying not this, but that. Not now, but then. But what we have to know and what we have to believe and trust is God knows the perfect time. His timing is perfect. As we always hear Apostle Zeta says, he's an on-time God.
Amen.
He's an on-time God. So, you know, and I'm telling you, when we don't have to worry, and we shouldn't, the closer to time or the more, the greater the need, we shouldn't get anxious for anything. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. But all things through prayer and supplication makes your request known before the Lord. Because, you know, you may, like Apostle Zeta might have said, well, that light bill is due tomorrow, and, you know, no check has come in the mail, and, you know, nothing has changed, but they, so I don't know, you know, The man can be that came out to the house, got up on the pole and get ready to cut the cord. And God can send that miracle. See, we can't be putting God in a box. We can't rush God, because all things are done in his good and perfect timing. And just because it doesn't happen today, doesn't mean that, you know, God has said no, or that we're not worthy, or that we're being punished. It just means God wants to see, just, you know, our faith tells God how serious we are about things. You know, I'm going to believe you in the good times. I'm going to believe and trust you in the storms. You know, just like Job, take away everything I have, but I'm not going to curse God, and I'm not going to stop having my faith in him. So, Prophetess Vanessa, I've been scrolling. There's a lot of people in here, but I don't see any warrants pressed. And that's due to your excellent teaching and also the comments from Apostle Zeta. So, but I do want to just let someone know, especially my young people in the chat room, listen, in order to have faith, you have to be connected to the object of our faith, and that is Christ Jesus. So on tonight, we're not inviting you to a church, but we're inviting you to a relationship with the Most High God. We're inviting you to get to know Jesus for yourself as your Lord and your Savior. And you don't have to get all dressed up and put on all this outward appearance and show up at some church. You don't have to wait for all of that. All you have to do is stop, drop right where you are. And with the sincerest of hearts, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. For I believe, that's your declaration of faith. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God. And since you came and you died and you rose, and this is where you need to make it personal, so it can start that work in your heart just for me. And then, beloved, Jesus is going to show up on the scene, and he's going to give you the gift of his Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you to begin to learn of him, and he is going to begin to help your faith to increase, and he's going to show you how to exercise that faith muscle, hallelujah. He's going to show you how to dine scrumptiously on his holy word, how to drink a good long drink of that living water, hallelujah. And you can just put your trust and faith in him. Because it's not about you or what you do or if you fall short, because this journey is a process. It's about you trusting and believing that Jesus is Lord and he's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your rescuer. He's your Redeemer. Hallelujah. He's your provider. He's your healer. Just like he's mine. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook and Prophetess Vanessa Carver for Wounded No More. We'd like to thank God's phenomenal woman for her wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and understanding. I want to thank all of you that are in here tonight for listening. And I just pray that as you continue to walk with us, you will get the Holy Ghost boldness to speak up. But we want to thank Apostle Zeta for always being in the house, always being supportive, always letting God use her and giving him the glory. So we pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network, because we have something for everyone. Hallelujah. So, and for more information about us, please go to Blog Talk Radio, or you can find all of our programs and times right in the descriptions of our program, each and every program. You're also always welcome to listen to our programs through our library at Blog Talk Radio and websites around the globe. So we want to thank you for listening on tonight. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. I love you both. Thank you all. I love you, ladies.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Good night.
We love you, too.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.